I'll add my welcome to that of Lorraine. And if you're a guest with us, my name's Andrew, and I'm one of the pastors in the church here at Christchurch, and what a privilege that is. We're going to hear from God's word now, and we're going to hear three different parts of the scriptures read to us, and you can sit and listen, or you can read the words on the screen. One of them's from Psalm 23, is Psalm 23, words of beauty, great beauty. And then we've got something from the New Testament part of the Bible, Luke 24, a couple of the disciples of Jesus getting away from Jerusalem after his death and the resurrection, just to avoid the trouble, they're getting away. And then there's a passage from a letter that Paul wrote to a young guy, he was a young leader called Timothy. So just listen to what God is saying as we hear from each of these passages.
The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scriptures is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuilding, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
It's good, isn't it, just to pause and hear and listen and reflect. As we said last week, as we started out on this journey for this year, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light for my path, from the Psalm 119, 105. That's so true when you hear even those scriptures there, the timeless truths, the living word of God, light to our path, a firm place, firm footing. He shows us the right way to walk. Now those words that we've just heard, they're contained in this book. Yeah, this book, a Bible. Now, I don't know, you may be more like me these days. I read it more from an app on my phone, I must admit, than from a paper book. But our hope and prayer for all of us is that we can see afresh within the pages of the Bible something of God's big story contained there, and how he speaks to us. As we go through this material, this series, it's been inspired and resourced as well with some videos and other materials by the Bible Society. And Andrew Ollerton, who works with them as well, he's written a book, The Bible, A Story That Makes Sense of Life, which is excellent, and so on. And we've called this series Experience a Better Story, because there's a journey through the big story of the Bible, a better story. A better story. We're living in such extremely challenging times right across the world, conflicts based on aggression, cycles of revenge. One country on another that never seems to break, age-old unresolved issues. And then the conflicts leave people grieving the loss of family members and friends, grieving what they once had as they're displaced far from home, uncertain, totally dependent on others for the basics of life, and so on. And then there are the reverberations that happen as you get things like supply chains all around the world globally are then impacted by what's going on there, and then that affects economies, that affects those who have the least most often, and so on. And then you take the challenge that we have for the use of the earth's resources and our stewardship of those, and when we don't do that well, the impact on the global climate, so that then things are out of kilter, and across the world you see millions of lives at risk as temperatures rise and sea levels then rise, and so on. We could go on to describe the world in lots of different angles. Our desire for truth and the people and the organizations that we should be able to trust, and the deception and the letdown that we get, as we've had in the story within our media just recently. Instinctively, we know there's got to be a better story somewhere, somehow, an overarching thread through the whole of life that's more loving, more purposeful, with a better perspective on the challenges that we face. I think that's why this book remains a world's bestseller, as we saw earlier, and why it's been translated into more languages than any other books, why languages are being written down for the first time so that people can have this book, and so on. There are more copies sold. You imagine all the different Lord of the Rings type series and all those millions of books that have been sold for that, all the Harry Potter ones, all that series. They love them right throughout the world. Add all those together, and there have been more sold of the Bible, more copies sold. And people aren't always happy about that. The 18th century French philosopher Voltaire famously predicted that within 100 years of his death, the Bible would be a museum piece. He said the most horrendous things about the Bible and the people who'd written it and everything else. I'm not even going to say it. It's on the screen. There you go. The irony was that after his death, his old home in Paris became a storage and distribution centre for Bibles. Woohoo! And the same press that was used to distribute anti-Christian opinions was then used to print Bibles and so on. I kind of love that. There was a stage in China where the Bible under communism was outlawed. And yet, in 1988, the Nanjing Amity Printing Company was established to serve the Christian church in China. And over 30 years, more than 200 million Bibles have come across, off the production lines of that printing press, and into many different languages as well. And makes you think, what is it about the Bible? I'm going to quote Andrew Ollerton and that book. I'm not going to keep doing it. What is it about the Bible, he says? It just won't go away. No book has been burned, banned, debated more vigorously over the centuries. Nevertheless, it continues to dominate bestseller lists year on year. And then he says this, the Bible has many critics, but no rivals. Very profound. And I think that's because it provides comfort, guidance, and reality. And somehow through what's written here, it helps us to see things more clearly. It took me quite a long while before I accepted the need to wear glasses for reading, and particularly with backlit things like a phone and so on. It took me even longer to accept that the distance sight was disappearing and I'd need them for that as well. I could watch a football match on the television, for example, and I could see the score in the corner, so I thought I was fine. But no, wow, the difference of wearing these and seeing that the faces moving on the screen actually have features and expressions and so on. It's amazing. I can look down the end of the garden now, and where what was some bird fluttering in the tree, it's a bird of a particular size, and it's got little colourings on, and you can work out what it is some of the time. Wearing them, I can see things so much more clearly. And that's what the Bible does. Whether you read it from a paper version or a Bible app on your phone, it helps us to see more clearly because it helps us gain insight into the nature of human beings, a handle on why things came into existence. And through the pages, we encounter the creative, loving mind behind the whole cosmos. We get to see more clearly. So much, and the distinctive colours and features of life. So it makes you say, well, what is the Bible? What does that even mean? So the word Bible, it comes from an ordinary ancient Greek word, biblia, which means books. That's plural, all right? Remember that, it's plural. And the word scripture, we sometimes use that to refer to the Bible, don't we? That comes from an old Latin word, scriptura, meaning writings. And so what we have within one book is actually a collection of books, a collection of writings, or as the video that we saw earlier when everybody was in the room together, that was a great image, wasn't it? The library. The library with different sections, yeah? So we've got a history section, form of narrative and story a lot of the time, and then long lists. There are written witness accounts of the actions and sayings of Jesus. You go to the wisdom section, and you'll find proverbs and large amounts of poetry, most of which are ancient song lyrics we call the Psalms. There's a section called prophecy, full of images and words from God about what was happening and what God was going to do. One of my favourite sections are the letter sections. I think it's because I'm nosy. And so these are written to the early churches, and it's like listening to one side of a phone conversation. And so your imagination then goes, oh, well, what was happening there? And what are they thinking when they're hearing this? And all that kind of stuff. And it captures your imagination. It's interesting, I was thinking about this. You go to the library in town, and which I don't very often, because actually I get most of them on a tablet. But if you go to the crime section, love a bit of crime, you'll have a whole load of Agatha Christies. And these days you'll get an increasing number of Richard Osmonds. Yeah, okay, both crime, murder novels and all those kind of things. But written in different cultures and at different times there. Now think about the whole library contained within the Bible, and the writings, they're spread over a period of more than 1,000 years. That's incredible, isn't it? And there are 40 different authors. So a multi-volume collection of ancient writings containing many different genres. And we have the two main sections, as we saw, Old Testament and New Testament. Some church traditions have a few extra books, but all Christians agree there are 66 core books with a distinctive voice of God, 39 in the Old, 27 in the New. This world's bestseller that never goes away. Whets your appetite, doesn't it? Do you want to read it afresh? Or if you're not a great reader, to listen to it. You can get CDs to do that, or on the Bible app, you just press the audio button and can just sit and listen, double listening to what's being said and what God is saying to you. Anyone can read it. Anyone. That's the joy of it. But if you're not sure to start, well, ask. You know, maybe you can start in more than halfway through in the New Testament with the Gospel of Mark. That's the shortest gospel. Or Luke, he loves the details. We use mostly here the NIV UK version, all right, New International Version, and or sometimes the New Living Translation, NLT. But there are different translations. If you want to ask more about those and which one and why, well, chat to Simon, myself, or another Christian that you know really well. And the joy is, via the Bible app, you can try different versions. You can compare one passage in different versions as well, just to see which works for you. And get some external help as well. You can have a midweek group at church. Obviously, that's great. Scripture Union produce something called Word Live. I've been using this for a few years. And you get a chunk of the Bible each day and you follow through sections for a while. And there are some short notes that just help you to understand what was being said, what it meant, and what it might mean for us today. If you prefer, you can get it online or via an email, or you can buy the book each quarter, I think it is, either Daily Bread or Encounter with God. The YouVersion app, we have a sermon outline on the events part of the YouVersion app. Well, you can get many different reading plans there just to get you started. Lots of different ones, just ask. Or if you're thinking, well, do you know, I would really love to cover the whole deal. Well, there are plenty of books or apps and so on that take you through the Bible in a year. A highly recommended one is from the Alpha Stable, Nikki and Pippa Gumbel. And the joy of that one, if you get their app, is you've got the full Monty, or you can go for the Express version, which picks out the key verses and an explanation, or there's a youth version if you're feeling very youthful. And a number of us, I've used for a period of time, Lectio 365, which helps you engage with Scripture each day, along with some devotional material and some guided prayer, and a chance to really reflect and hear. That's just a few. There's plenty of other resources out there. When you think about it, just don't forget, written over 1,000 years, and each style's different. So when you dive into a bit, it's always worth knowing a little bit of the context, all right? The W questions, we call them sometimes. Who, what, where, when, why, who is writing, what genre is it? That makes a big difference. If it's poetry, the expressive kind of language is different to what you get in a letter, for example. You're asking and trying to, what did it mean to the original hearers then? And what are the principles? What does it mean today? What is God saying to me today? This bestseller that lives on. It lives on because it's God's story, and it's also our story. God's story? How come? How come? Well, if you start reading it, you meet him through it. If you start reading it, you will have times where you come across things that aren't easy to work through or understand. I was going through a whole long list of the sons of Noah, and it's like, oh, what's all this about and where we are? It's complex at times, but it's incredibly coherent and compelling. That's what's so special, a whole library full of different authors, yet somehow each part we recognize this distinctive voice, the voice of God that holds this big unfolding story together. You don't get that with the library that's in the middle of town, I can assure you, but you do with the library that is the Bible. One of the passages that we had just a minute ago, I said, was from Paul to a young leader he'd mentored who was then leading other leaders and so on. And he reminds Timothy, you know, how from very infancy he'd learned the scriptures and he'd kind of grown up with them, and then they'd helped him come to this saving knowledge of Jesus and cleansed, forgiven, and a leader, and they are still helpful to him. Why? He says, because all scripture is God-breathed, or other versions say, inspired by God. God-breathed, literally. And it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. In other words, God speaking, you know, it's useful for you And it's useful for the work you're doing with the other leaders, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God speaks to us through the Bible because he wrote it. If you like, behind the different 40 different authors from different cultures and in different locations over many centuries, each one who wrote the book, behind each one is this divine author who inspired them, whose spirit carried them and their words along. Literally, God breathed. So what we have isn't a dusty collection of sayings from a bygone age, but it's a means by which God chooses to reveal himself and to speak to us. What was it for you? I can tell you what it was for me. I grew up with some knowledge of the Bible, but it was a bit fuzzy. And when I went off to university, I've told one or two of you this in the past, so forgive me for that, if this is you. But, you know, I was doing maths, but I fell in with a group of Christians, and I began to read a little each day from the Bible, partly because there was a Gideon's Bible in my study room at uni, and mainly because others were reading it, and I thought I probably ought to as well. I had the space, had the time. So believe it or not, as a student, I'd get up before breakfast, I'd shower, make a coffee, and sit down in an armchair and open and read. How did, you know? But there was something drawing me to this. And I remember going through Matthew's Gospel and getting to chapter 7, verse 21, and reading this. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Well, that was shocking and unsettling, I've got to be honest. And to be possible to not know God, be doing lots of good stuff in God's name, and yet not be doing the right things that God wanted, and not to know Christ in my heart. This was God speaking to me through Matthew's record of Jesus' teaching, and it really, I've got to say, it was God speaking, and it set me seeking out, well, what is this faith? Who is this Jesus? How can I know him? And so on, until I met him for myself. I said it's incredibly coherent, and there's a big story that unfolds through history. And as we've said earlier, that we're going to explore those key elements over the next 6 weeks. Questions of origin, where we have come from and why. Questions of freedom. What does it mean to be truly free in life? Right through to questions about the future and our human longing for home and how that one day will be satisfied. And we'll think about Jesus as well 1 week. That video was great, just reminding us that everything seems to point to this Messiah figure, Jesus, and our human need for love. That was the joy of that second reading from Luke 24, two disciples on their road to Emmaus. And this one stranger who drops in beside them, they don't know it then. They've had to get away because news about Jesus rising has gone viral and it's not safe. So they get away, and there he is explaining things to them. And he says this: "Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Wow, what a Bible study that must have been on that road to Emmaus. This is one of my favorite topics ever. Christ in all the scriptures. And the risen Jesus explaining this storyline, this thread about a suffering Messiah and death that would come, and the wonderful resurrection and restoration and redemption that all flow out from that. Little wonder, with their eyes opened when he'd gone from them, the two said to themselves, Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? That doesn't happen every day if you get to read the Bible every day, but there are times where suddenly it's burning and it's a light and alive to us. But they were meeting with him, and the truth does that. Many storylines and threads. You can talk about this in your groups this week. They kind of weave together as part of this whole big story. I love the presence thread. If you think about a garden and paradise at the start and God and Adam and Eve unhindered in the presence of God there. And you think about the end to come, a new heavens, a new earth, and God present with his people, fully known. And there's a point, a key point, where a Mary and a Joseph named their child Emmanuel, which means God with us, present among us. And so, yeah, that's just one. You can talk about the covenant thread or other threads that follow through the whole of Scripture. I love it. It's great. All part of God's story. God speaking to us. God breathed. Amazing when you think about that. Well, how does that relate to us today? Listen to what a number of people said when they were asked about the Bible.
What I love about the Bible is it's all about who God is, his culture, his values, his character, his nature. It just tells us what he loves, what he doesn't love. And for me, I love that it's not a book about a formula or a system. It's all about relationship with him. I love that.
I wouldn't call myself a big reader. I don't read novels, but I love reading the Bible. You can take bite-sized pieces out of it. I really enjoy that it encourages you, it strengthens you, it challenges you.
I have found the Bible relatable, living, alive, and mostly speaking directly to me.
What I love about the Bible is how down to earth and how real much of this, or many of the stories that we hear are. How Jesus is eating fish with his friends, he's drinking wine, he's hanging out. And I particularly like the Psalms, where we have these stories, this complete range of emotions, from the highest highs, jubilations, to the lowest lows of anguish and anger and frustration. And that makes the Bible relatable.
I think the Bible brings life because it isn't just a book, it's actually God's book. And so when we read it, it's not just words on a page, it's God's words to us. It's his peace, it's his wisdom, it's his love, which we receive right in the middle of everything we're going through.
In those moments where God maybe feels a bit distant or far away, it's so good just to have the Bible there next to me as a physical resource to turn to and read his word.
The Bible is really relevant today. You know, I was broken, I was lost, I was confused, and I actually picked up the Bible for the very first time, and I read the Bible, and the very first thing that I read was, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future."
I didn't grow up in a family where I had a father figure, but through the Bible I can get to know God as my father, and I get to know who I am as his child as well. So I love the Bible.
One thing I love about the Bible is that no matter how many times you read it, it always reveals something new to you. So for example, you might read something one day, but then the next day it reveals something completely different, or even like adds to your picture. And I think it's amazing because then you can just keep reading it. You never get bored.
I love that clip. It's just excellent. People from all walks of life. What would you say? You'll be able to share that in your one of the life groups during the week, or and if you're not in one, in that pop-up one on a Tuesday that we've got just running through this series, you're really welcome to jump in on that. They love it because God's speaking to us. It impacts our lives. That's why they love it. The bestseller is God's story. It's also our story too. Through the pages as we read, we discover a great deal about the human story that helps us make sense of who we are, as we've said already, what we're like and why what we experience in the real world. The video we had earlier said we read the Bible and in many ways it reads us. The Bible says about itself that it shows up the motives of our hearts. And what's wrong in our thinking at times, just as we read it, it reads us. And it's powerful. And we find linking points for our own story within this bigger story of God. We all love a good story, don't we? When our three boys were very young, we were on a big Christian camp called New Wine. We used to take a group regularly for many years. 10,000 other Christians on this site all together, divided into villages of tents and caravans and stuff like that. And from where we were based, when they were very young, our boys, you could see this big, this purple balloon, helium-filled balloon, attached to a tent about a few villages away. And we could see it from our caravan. Now, we knew about it because a friend of ours, she'd done it because her children were big enough, they didn't have to be signed out of groups, but it was the first year, and they could make their way back for lunch there. And so she did it so that they wouldn't get lost amongst the mass. And as it was story time each night, I ended up telling stories about the purple balloon just before we then put the boys to bed. And they were captured by this, even though they were just made-up stories, rubbish made-up stories. They were captured by this because they could identify, it was bits they could identify themselves, that where we were, the balloon, and they could see something of what was happening in their lives, and that was their connection with this story. They were in there. And that's what happens when we read God's story. There are connecting points with our own lives, our own questions, our own foul-ups. All within the unfolding story, and we enter in. So as we go through this series, we'll see the big picture, so that any time we read something from the Bible, we can see where it fits in. And as we make sense of the Bible, our prayer is that God will help us make sense of the life we're living and all that he's calling us to and doing in us. I've noticed just walking alongside others over many years, it never works just to sort of take my life and try and fit God's story into my life. It works the other way around, and we have to be reminded of this lots of times. I discover, as I tune in and discern the distinctive voice of God in this big story, that my story finds its place and makes sense within this bigger, overarching story of God at work in the world that he has made. So it's exciting, isn't it? Come with us on this story and enter in and find your connecting points, because God is speaking to us still through his word. Let me just share something that was shared at Parkway this morning. Anitha, one of the local team at Parkway, was saying, she'll often imagine people and have visions, see people struggling, and then she'll turn that into prayer. And for a little while, it's been people trying to balance or juggle responsibilities, weighed down by the pressures of everyday life. I've written this down, so I'll try and get this right. Raising children, providing for a family, looking after sick or grieving a loved one and more. And it's been a challenging time. And she is quick to say she's experienced that for herself, riding the waves, she put it. Which I thought was really helpful, and it's really tough. And she was identifying with others, and she turns that to prayer when she's prompted to, and at times she will pray alongside with others. But last Saturday morning, the light came on, and what she was seeing was a picture of joy and hope. People in different situations, like a collage of all the visions over the past season, turned to joy. And a deep sense that that's what Father God wanted people to be able to take hold of in this season. On the Sunday morning when we talked about God's word, his word being a light, a lamp for our feet and a light on our path. It was just like, yeah, that there was so resonated with the two things coming together, what was happening. Yeah, what had been happening, being transformed into blessings. And she felt That's for people within the wider church now. And if that's you, I really encourage you to take hold of it. And a little later, come. Ask someone to pray with you. Weighed down, whether, like, you know, with children hanging on to you. You know, to children that you're uplifting them in joy. And that's what God is wanting for you, where there's conflict and embracing and resolution and so on. And the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God, wanting to come and lift up. And Scripture was a part of this. Reading from 1 Peter 1, verse 6 and 7, this kind of brought it all together. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So you might have been going through a tough time. You might be somebody that Anitha's imagined and seen and prayed for. But hear what God is wanting to do and take hold of that today. Come, ask the prayer ministry team or a friend you trust to pray for you. God speaking to us. I'm going to pray. I know we all prayed near the start about this series. Let's just a little prayer. And then the musicians are going to come and they're going to lead us in a song. And I'll just explain that afterwards as we finish our time together. Father, eternal Father, thank you for the living word. We pray again that by the help of your Spirit, you will enlarge our understanding of the big picture of your unfolding story, and by your grace, help us to see our place within that too, and what you're saying to us now. We ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.